You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Intercepted for Acme Packing Company. I'm Justice Mosqueda. Usually we are joined by a fan of an enemy team, but instead I'm joined by my brother Charles McDonald from Undefined. How are we doing this,
Charles? Undefined. When is this coming out?
This is coming out on Friday.
Okay, yeah, definitely Undefined then. I will be able to announce my new place on Monday. I was previously entered the Underdog Fantasy. For people who have been asking me, yes, the exempt list will be coming back at my next stop. We'll give more information about that next week. But yeah, that's all I can say right now. I asked if I could announce it like before the weekend, and they said, no, we want to do it all on Monday because there's another new hire coming too. So yeah, Monday. We can find out where I'm working next.
So Chuck's unemployed currently.
Yeah.
And he's a big Justin Fields fan. So I had to hear it from him himself. I made him watch the game. He's going to, you know, wear the hat of being a Chicago Bears fan for this episode at the very least. Wow. I think we're going to go 20 minutes, probably the first half of this podcast. We're going to talk about Packers Bears. And then the second half, we'll probably just talk about generally what we saw week one of the NFL, kind of how expectations change, things like that. Chuck, you watched the film. You didn't get all the way through it. How far did you?
Dude, I made it to like the third quarter, I think. Okay. But like it was garbage because see, my thing is when I'm watching a game and I can see like when someone gets tackled, like literally just puddles of water come up on the field, or not even tackled, like just literally running around, you can see like how much water is in the field. I don't know. It just kind of felt like. If I wasn't doing this podcast, I would not have watched that game. That's what I'll say, because I tend to look at this, like, especially a game like this, first game of the season. This is Trey Lance's like first start as like the bona fide quarterback of the 49ers. Justin Fields' first start with the new offensive coordinator, new coaching staff. I don't know. With those weather conditions, I personally would not take too much away from the game. But I think like from what I did watch, I was kind of surprised that the Bears ended up winning that game, because I don't think that like they proved that they were a good team. It's just kind of like, oh man, these are really sloppy conditions. I know Debo Samuel had to fumble like his first carry of the game. There was like a weird broken play where Justin Fields had a throwback. He's wearing two gloves on the ball. And, you know, it was just kind of a weird game. So I wouldn't really put too much stock in like really what either performance did. I'm still kind of leaning on what we were thinking about these teams preseason. And as far as the Bears go, you know, this should be a matchup that the Packers defensive line should be able to win. I think there are a good amount of reps where the 49ers defensive line, where their talent showed out. But I also think like at times that's not an environment that can be like conducive to being a great pass rusher, because if you're trying to get upfield and plant and stuff like that, and there's literally like puddles of water all over the field, you're not going to get like the clean reps that you're trying to see when you're trying to evaluate, okay, well, how will this affect my team when we play them next week? I would say if I'm a Packers fan, we should still definitely expect to have the upper hand in the trenches against the Bears. And as far as Justin Fields goes, I think it's a wild card. I thought one thing that was interesting for the Bears is they, like, when they were calling their plays, it kind of seemed like they did, like, a lot of window dressing in terms of formation and motions, but just to get into the same run plays. Like, you're running like inside zone, you're running stuff that's like in between the tackle, hitting like that B gap, but, you know, hitting basically the A and the B gap. And it's funny because it looks like they're trying to do a whole bunch of different stuff with the formations and the motions, but when they actually snap the ball, you're just running inside zone. So I think with the Bears, they're still trying to find their identity, and I don't know how you do that with a game that was that messy.
It was definitely a sight to see. The end of game looks from like the stadium, people taking photos from the stadium, and just the shots of the sideline. Like, they didn't even paint really like the white lines on the sideline. Like, it was just a thin white line. It wasn't the big, you know, 5-yard white line that you expect to see. And it looked all like jagged. It looked like what, like a Van Gogh port, like Van Gogh painted like a NFL field or something like that. It looked very weird. To your point, I mean, if you haven't, if you're listening to this and you didn't see the conditions, I mean, the end of the game, they basically used the field as a water slide. And my response was like, did they change the surface? And everyone's like, yeah, they got new grass. And I was like, that's grass. That's still grass. I thought that was, I assumed that would have been turf if you're able to.
I thought it was turf too.
Yeah. So I didn't realize that. And then even, you know, you were talking about like in kind of the rhythm of the game and stuff like that. Like Trey Lance he's a long strider when he's dropping back. And there were times like you watch him in the fourth quarter, he's under center, he's striding back there, dropping back to pass, and you could see him kick up water. Like it's like sheets literally of can't water get his are footing. Coming off the ground. It's crazy. It looked like, you know, one of those old like Gatorade commercials where like the sweat off of Michael Jordan is like purple or like lime green or something like that. Mm-hmm. And it just like overemphasizes how wet everything is. That's what like the surface of the playing field was in the game. It was nasty. And I think Justin Fields, to your point, the fact that he's a scrambling quarterback, I think really did help them, because everyone always points to kind of, you know, hey, it's hard to move offense when, you know, weather is all weird. But like, if you can get to the perimeters of the defense, those defensive guys are having to cut and they're moving, they're changing from going backwards to forwards. Like it impacts them almost more than it does the offense. Maybe the offense is willing to take less risks from a play calling perspective, but I always felt like defenses are always actually the ones that kind of brunt the cost of playing on bad surfaces.
Yeah. I thought one part that I thought was interesting, like from seeing the narratives, you know, there are people, because I think a lot of people that I think are smart were just like, throw the game out the window. It's not really much you can leave in an environment like this. But, you know, there are people who were like, well, it wasn't raining the whole game. Yeah, it wasn't raining the whole game. But if you go back and actually watch the game, at no point does the game ever stop like being played in a swamp. Like when you're running and you can splash up the ground in front of you, that's not normal.
The Bears got a penalty on special teams because their holder tried to dry off the ground.
Yeah,
with a towel. it was not a normal football game.
It was a total mess. But you know, I think even with that, like you still see some like the playmaking stuff that Justin Fields does. The interception that he threw to Hufanga, terrible.
Just right terrible. Down the middle, throws it to terrible. The rookie safety. Packers might, if you're a Packers fan, you might remember Hufanga because he had a big light up hit in the preseason on one of the Packers down the middle of the field. He's pretty fun. I mean, maybe the Packers will end up seeing them in the playoffs or something like that. But Justin Fields, I mean, as much as they win, so you want to build up the young quarterback, but he still definitely was making a couple mental mistakes.
Yeah, definitely. A couple mental mistakes, but even with, like, the interception was bad, but I thought, like, in the second half at least, it was just like, okay, we can figure out how to make some plays in the monsoon, and maybe that can be something that translates. Although I will say, like, if you're looking for stuff that translates to, like, what we're game playing for the next week, I don't think there was a whole much that translates like a normal game, maybe outside of like what the Bears do in running game, because pass game wise, I think on both sides, there was just a lot of, you know, literally figuratively stuck in the mud. You know, you're not really getting like the cleanest looks, but you know, both teams were still able to make some big plays. There's one play in the first half where Brandon Ayuk came over on a crosser, and this was kind of like, the Packers had troubles with this week one with Justin Jefferson, but this was kind of like one of those peak week one plays where we're still rusty and trying to figure things out. They had Brandon Ayuk coming over across there, and you had two Bears defenders basically like meet each other, trying to cover him and like run into each other and get confused, and he's wide open for a crosser. So it'll be interesting to see like if Green Bay can capitalize off that, because you know that is a pretty young secondary for Chicago. I do like Jaquan Brisker. I wrote that down.
I was like, he's one of the guys who's looking really good, really early.
Dude, he's good. He looks good. Brisker was good. I don't know about Kyler Gordon yet, but like Jalen Johnson, Brisker, Gordon, that's a pretty young secondary, so maybe Aaron Rodgers can take advantage of
it. Yeah. Hopefully they can pass off coverages and stuff like that. Because, I mean, I said
Dan Quinn special.
Have you watched okay, so you've seen obviously you've seen the highlight plays Justin Jefferson put up this past week.
I watched the Packers Vikings game.
Okay, you did. So the big post down the middle, off of play action, right? Kirk Cousins opens the wrong way to a running back, or the running back opens the wrong way, who knows? Scrambles up in the pocket really quick. Justin Jefferson actually stops running. Stops running because he thinks the play is dead, has to catch up to the ball. It's a post between quarters, right? That's not a play that should be able to be made. Adrian right. Amos was just lost on that play, and Savage took Jefferson took an outside jab before he ran the post. So he kind of got caught up in that. And then the second big one, the wide open play that he ran up the sideline for a touchdown, was just they were in cover three. You know, Jair thought that they were going to pass over the crossers. They both ran crossers. And, you know, Douglas just didn't pick it up. He stuck on his crosser. So we ended up 2-on-1, 1-on-0. That was a touchdown. There's a lot of people who want to can Joe Barry already. Did you see anything in that game that's like, yeah, you should fire that guy? Or it's just like, yeah.
No, it was just, I don't know. It was kind of like week one mistakes. I think for a team like the Packers who just like does not play guys in the preseason, maybe that can
be. The Vikings didn't either.
I know the Vikings didn't either. I know that was about to be the rebuttal, but I don't know. I think, you know, on the back end, that could be kind of tough when you're, but it's not even like these are guys that haven't played with each other before, really. That was just kind of weird. It was one of those games, like, shit happens. Sometimes your good players make a really, really bad play. And I think that is clearly what happened to the Packers on Sunday against the Vikings. Because, I mean, there's really no excuse to have someone as good as Justin Jefferson wide open on a crosser, but it happens. I mean, I know as a Falcons fan, like, if you go back to, it was either 2019 or 2020, probably 2019, the Cardinals played the Falcons in Arizona, and they literally just ran crossers the entire game, and the Cardinals and the Falcons defense didn't pick up one of them. It happens. I don't know.
I will say the crossers one is a little less frustrating because that is Rasul Douglas playing in the slot for, you know, the first game in Green Bay. He hadn't done that before. He was mostly an outside corner with Chandon Sullivan in the middle, and they ran an outside post. So maybe he thought, you know, Stokes is going to be out there being able to help that or something like that. The post shot is the one where I'm like, what the hell is going on there? Like, neither of those guys, like, if Madden made those animations, right, there'd be 500 retweets on someone posting that randomly on an account with like 5 followers on Twitter. Cause it'd be so absurd.
Yeah.
They'd be like, this game is broken. This is dumb. How does this work? So that one was just really unfortunate. I will say they did do a pretty good job of handling him second half. They only scored 6 points the entire second half. It was just, they got themselves into a hole pretty quickly. They went away from the run game. One last thing before we really get into Vikings Packers and kind of talking about what the Packers can do in this upcoming game. The Bears look like they're like a true 4-3 defense now, and they're running a bunch of stunts with their defensive line. It seemed like that's kind of like what they wanted to do. And maybe that's something where it's like run game against a mobile quarterback on a weird surface, but that'll be interesting to watch.
They had a rookie defensive end that kind of had a nice game. I don't know what his name is.
Like the kid out of Miami, Ohio. Did you hear what he said?
I didn't hear what he said, but I watched him play today.
He said Trent Williams has a tell. He kicks his leg twice when he's going to go into a pass set.
Well, I'm glad that he only has to play Trent Williams once this year.
Yeah. Weird. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a guy that a lot of Packers fans kind of wanted for you know, in the draft later rounds, because we knew that we needed a pass rusher. We ended up getting Kingsley Enagbare, who's I thought he did okay in the preseason in week one. So
yeah, the Bears guy, he had a play where he whipped McGlinchey's ass, like just got him hard on the inside move straight for the sack.
Where does McGlinchey rank on the Jake Matthews scale of he's being overrated because of his draft position?
He's definitely worse than Jake Matthews. Worse than Jake. I don't have a problem with Jake Matthews being my starting left tackle.
I mean, my starting left tackle is Josh Nyman. So
yeah,
I can't really talk. I mean, Nyman's pretty good for what he is, but it's just, you know, Dave Bakhtiari is still not out there. All right, let's talk Green Bay Packers. Let's get into injury report. So as of right now, Thursday, Alan Lazard has practiced back-to-back days. He is limited with an ankle injury. Elgton Jenkins listed as limited too, with a knee and a pec injury. It'll be interesting to see if he goes, because Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette reported on Sunday when it broke that Bakhtiari and Elgton Jenkins weren't going to be able to play against the Minnesota Vikings. He was saying that like the team might be conservative on bringing Jenkins back, which I thought was interesting. The team is pretty clearly going to be very conservative with David Bakhtiari today. Matt LaFleur said to the press that David Bakhtiari basically isn't going to practice back-to-back practices anymore. He said, you know, basically the plan is one day on, one day off from here on forward. And I'm like, that's okay. Really bad news then. Like, is this indefinite? Is this just for this year? Like, I don't know. I mean, the team still has, I think he has like a $26 million dead cap next year. Like, they need him to perform. It's not like they can just like move away from him after a playoff run this year. They gave him the biggest contract an offensive tackle ever gotten at that point in 2020. And then he got hurt New Year's Eve 2020. And we haven't really seen him since, other than a couple of drives in the Detroit Lions game last season. So tough scene on the offensive.
Really weird. I don't know if it's just because I talk to you every day, but I'm kind of surprised that like this story hasn't gotten more attention from like national media. But I guess you know what? I don't have a place to post yet, so I guess I should do the same thing. National media, focus. I was about to say, as the national media guy, maybe I should, you know, pick up on that. But
it feels like one of the problems with national media is they just always assume coaches are telling the truth. I think that's one of the big problems with, especially with injuries. Like, we heard all off season, like, hey, Matthew Stafford went 3 months without throwing a football. He cannot throw a football. They're managing him. It's August. They're still managing him. They're going to have to manage him into the season. And the Rams are like, no, he's going to be all right. And everyone's like, yeah, dude, he's just going to be all right. And then week one happens and you're like, this guy's clearly hurt. Yeah. This guy is not going to be okay the entire NFL season. It just seems like anytime there's off-season injuries or like injuries that last from one season to another, it always gets overlooked at the beginning of the year because the coaches are saying, no, they'll be fine. And it's not like they have any repercussions.
Right.
But why wouldn't they just lie? If you were me or head coach,
I would lie all the time.
24/7.
Your article's got nothing to do with what I'm doing over here.
Yeah, exactly.
I will lie all the time.
Beyond that, John Runyon Jr. at the left guard is still in concussion protocol. So there's a real chance Green Bay's four preferred starters on the offensive line outside of center Josh Myers, none of them are starting, because Royce Newman would have to go from, you know, right guard to right tackle. Elgton Jenkins, who would be the right tackle, is probably going to be out. David Bakhtiari, who's the left tackle, is almost certainly going to be out. And then John Runyon Jr., if he's not past concussion protocol at this point, I would assume that he's probably not going to play. Zach Tom will come in replacement for him. I mean, you're talking four backup offensive linemen, and the spread in this game is Packers -10. It opened 9.5. I'm looking on VSiN's stats right now. It says on DraftKings, 77% of the money is on the Packers covering the spread.
Okay.
Kind of risky to me. That line is too high for me.
Yeah.
I think the Packers win, but like, they're still working through a lot of issues.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Is there someone that you fear on the Bears defensive line, or do you just live generally in fear of every defensive line with the Packers offensive line as it is now?
Quinn?
Quinn's a good one.
Quinn is the only one, I would argue. Like, the linebackers are good. I was surprised by Brisker playing well in week one. And again, the surface.
He had a good preseason too.
He was playing really aggressive. And I think that's something that translates no matter what the surface looks like. It's not really the front end that worries me, but yeah, I worry about a couple guys, but it's mostly Quinn at this point. The one thing the Packers did do really well last game, and I was actually kind of surprised by it, and you're talking about the Chicago Bears offense was really weird because they're not really like pulling any of these guards or anything. They're just hitting inside stuff. That's basically what the Packers did last year. I mean, it was inside zone, outside zone duo. They really don't pull anyone, right?
Mm-hmm.
in the opener, they didn't run the ball that much, and even made it a point, like LaFleur said after the game, and you know, throughout this week, like, hey, our best two skill players are probably our running backs. Like, we need to get them way more touches than what we did in this past game. They were able to run a bunch of pin and pull stuff, and they really might have gotten, like, I think it would have been like four pin and pull plays for probably like 40 plus yards. I mean, they were getting the Vikings pretty good on some of them. So it'll be interesting to see if they keep doing that with backup guards. I mean, Jake Hansen was a guy I don't think most people thought was going to make the team around probably draft time.
Yeah, I don't think he should have based on what I saw on Sunday.
But so
he's sorry, there. Jake, if you listen to this.
No, that's more than fine. I thought Tom should have gotten in at right tackle and Newman kicked in at right guard based off of how Hansen played in the preseason. But they're out there with Tom, you know, off the bench, and Hansen at right guard, who's, you know, an underdog to even make this team at this point. And they were still able to run those pin and pull plays. So it'll be interesting to see if they keep doing that sweep stuff. And when you get AJ Dillon out on the edge, he's nasty.
He's sorry, nasty. I got distracted. Chris Jones had a nasty move for a sack on a third down. Yeah, we're watching the Chiefs Chargers.
Thursday Night Football with a former Packer, J.K. Scott.
Yeah, I made a comment during before the game started, like right as the game started, like, uh-oh, they got Chris Jones and Matt Filer. Matt Fowler just gave him a terrible, terrible sack.
It's a tough one.
Yeah,
it's a tough one. Green Bay Packers, I think their defense is going to do fine in this game. I don't think Justin Fields is there yet. Still a young quarterback. I think you'll get your chances against him. I think the Bears' offensive line is really bad still.
They were starting a fifth-round rookie at left tackle.
Yeah, and he got beat up by Nick Bosa. And I know – Green Bay doesn't necessarily have a Nick Bosa, but they have a Rashawn Gary, and that's probably good enough.
Yeah,
that's probably good enough to change the game. I mean, that's the matchup I'm going to be looking at throughout the game. I just feel like this Packers team is probably due for a bounce back. Did you watch the All-22?
I watched a little bit of the All-22. I definitely watched like the normal broadcast.
So. Christian Watson could have had 180 yards.
Oh. The drop was so funny. Okay,
drop was bad.
And the drop was bad. And I feel like, to me, like when that drop happened, after, like from every play they're on, at least like every passing play, I felt like I was watching, I don't remember if it was like the last year of McCarthy or the first year of LaFleur, where Rodgers was just like dirting all the RPOs in the screen to be like, fuck this. Like, I'm not even going to try on these plays. Because to me, it felt like after the Watson drop, Rodgers was like, oh, I'm not here today. We're gonna try again next week. Because to me, like I don't think that was Rodgers' best game, but I also don't feel like he was like mentally dialed in after that drop.
No, I mean that interception to Cobb was just like, fuck it,
yeah.
And then you look at him on the sideline and he's yelling about Robert Tonyan and going like, you have to fucking block, and it's like, oh, I've seen this before.
Yeah, I mean, he's done today.
He's working again. Preferred starters. There's not a single one at guard and tackle. Probably that's going to play in this Bears game. Wide receivers. Really, I mean, with Lazard out, right? At the very least, like, who does he have chemistry with? Randall Cobb, pretty much it. Cobb. Amari Rodgers is on the bench. He'll tell you that himself. Wait, he spoke on that. And then tight end, you know, Robert Tonyan is coming back from injury. Hasn't played in months, right? So I think it was kind of expected. I think they're due for a bounce back. Christian Watson again could have had 180 yards. He was wide open on Diggs. Rodgers just like for some reason just not reading the coverages, and we've seen it before. I mean, we saw it at the end of the year. We saw it in Detroit in week 17. Who knows if that was a preparation thing. It felt like we saw that against San Francisco in the playoff game, where it was just like he has, you know, Alan Lazard running a wide open cross. He's just trying to force feed it to Devontae. And then again, to your point, end of the McCarthy era and that first year with LaFleur, where he just dirts balls and he's like, that's not what you guys were supposed to run. And it's just like, just kills a play. He's just like, no, I'm done. We're not running a play. You guys aren't doing it right. So,
yeah. Maybe we should have known he was kind of a turd like this whole time.
Does McCarthy have a point? Look, McCarthy's coming back. I'm excited for it. McCarthy's coming back week 10. That's supposed to be the week that Dak Prescott comes back. So we're going to get Dak Prescott.
Jerry has his way. He'll be back well before that.
We'll see.
Jerry's like, no IR. No IR. No Dak, IR. You're fine.
He'll be good. I actually have a question of, like, is Mike McCarthy still going to be the head coach in week 10? That's what
I don't know. I would say this. I don't think there's, like, by week 10, I don't think there's, like, a non-zero chance that Dan Quinn is the head coach of that team auditioning to be the head coach for 2023.
Gross.
They really like him around there.
I believe it. I mean, that's his rap in Atlanta too, right? They're like players coach.
Yeah.
And the thing brotherhood,
The thing is, like, I think that, look, I would have a lot of questions based on last year's performance if Dallas' defense can do it again. But the first week you held Brady to 19 points. They're still feeling pretty good about what Dan Quinn's doing there, even though, you know, I think I'm still kind of waiting for the wheels to fall off a little bit.
Let's get predictions in. I don't think 10 is right. I don't think the Packers offense is clicking either. Give me like 21-14 Packers.
I think you think the Bears could score 14? See, that's my thing.
you think it's 10-0? 10-0 and it pushes?
So I can see like 24-10.
Okay, that's fair.
24 to 10 is gonna be my guess to cover the spread.
Okay, all right. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk about the other games that were played in Week 1. And we're back. All right. So other things happened in the NFL. Every NFC contender's offensive line is bad now. How am I supposed to feel about this as a Packers fan who may or may not have Bakhtiari and Jenkins coming back this year?
You should feel okay. I feel like the offensive line play was kind of like, at least in the Falcons game for sure that I watched, kind of like the Twilight Zone, because I watched that game and I couldn't believe how well the Falcons offensive line played for the most part. Like, blowing guys off the line, and I thought they were terrible. And the Saints offensive line, like, they really didn't do jack until like the last, you know, few minutes of the game. So maybe this is like a good omen. Like, all the good NFC teams right now, poor offensive line play, and maybe just in general, or maybe the real takeaway is the NFC is just really not that good this year, especially with Dak getting hurt. I don't really know what to make of the conference as a whole.
I can be convinced Chargers, Chiefs, Bills are the three best teams in football, and they're all in the AFC. And I could be convinced that pretty early or pretty easily. Mm-hmm. You look at the Rams. The Rams had a terrible performance up front against the Bills, and then it came out like their left tackle and center is hurt. So, put insult into injury. You look at San Francisco. I thought San Francisco's interior was a question mark coming into the year. I thought that was probably one of their biggest weaknesses. I thought, you know, it's tough in those circumstances, but I thought that was kind of a tentative box that was checked against Chicago. I mean, it's not like they were able to move the ball down the field and run and trap and stuff. Tampa, those guys keep going down with injuries. Dallas is destroyed, just decimated as a football team in general. The two teams that I thought had really good offensive lines actually played against each other, Philadelphia and Detroit, and they put up a ton of points. I mean, they put up
I saw something, DeAndre Swift this past weekend, he averaged 9.6 yards before contact.
Yeah, and he has like negative ball carrier vision.
Yeah.
If they ever get him the Jameis, what do you call it? What's the surgery on
LASIK,
your eye?
LASIK surgery.
If they get DeAndre Swift the LASIK, he could be trouble. He could be trouble. But yeah, I mean, I think those offensive lines are really strong. And then you look at the rest of the NFC and it's like, I don't really think there's anything else out there. I mean, Green Bay, really once they get healthy, I mean, I kind of understand why they're like, we're going to take a long-term view. Because you look at Tampa, you look at Los Angeles, it's like, well, who else is really our competition at this point? Do you think the Eagles are going to come into Lambeau and beat them? I don't think so. So, I don't know.
If we saw the Packers from Sunday, who knows? Yeah. I don't know, man. Look, the Packers from Sunday will even be in the playoffs. I don't know.
Lizard will be back. What are the games funny?
What's your like prediction for the Packers this year? Like, after you see Sunday, does that change how you feel at all?
Yeah, I think they drop like two more dumb games. They lose to Tampa and they lose to Buffalo. So what's that? 12-5.
Sure, still pretty good.
Yeah, lock me into 12-5.
Yeah,
they'll win the North. I think. I don't think Minnesota played that well, honestly.
I don't think they did either. I think
really don't.
Honestly,
that pass rush is good though.
The pass rush is good, but as the person who doesn't give a shit about the Packers or the Vikings, I honestly thought that the Packers just played poorly more than the Vikings played well.
Yeah. Kirk didn't just like throw one up though, which sucked. Kirk usually is good for throwing one or two up. Maybe the post shot was throwing one up, and like
I was really about to say that. I think that kind of was his throwing one up.
That was throwing one up, and he was like, "Holy crap! I can't believe that actually worked." Elsewhere in the league, we're pretty firm on the like, why are you ranking Joe Burrow as a top five quarterback conversation?
Yes.
That one, the other shoe dropped there, finally.
Yeah. Well, it was just weird that for the Bengals Super Bowl run that Joe Burrow was getting all the credit for that when their offense didn't play well for like four games in a row. they got carried there by the defense.
They made the postseason record for sacks.
Yeah. And in the AFC Championship game, they made Patrick Mahomes look like Blaine Gabbert, like a loser. So I don't really know why Joe Burrow got all the credit for that, but you know, I got to be honest, I wasn't expecting, you know, five turnovers. But I think the funny part in that game is, so if you take away the Minka Fitzpatrick interception that they had, the Steelers, they turned the ball over four times. Or they got four turnovers off Burrow minus that interception, and they only scored 16 points on offense the entire game, in basically five quarters of play. That's brutal, awful. Like, that's terrible to watch. Terrible.
Not good.
Like, you get five turnovers and you scored 23 points, and one of those and seven of those 23 points for defensive touchdown. That's crazy. That's crazy.
I'm looking at the schedule with just like other things to note. Cleveland, Carolina. My only fantasy take this entire offseason was like, I can't believe you guys are drafting Christian McCaffrey so high.
Yeah, I couldn't either.
Like, he had then, 600 yards in 2 years combined.
Dude, okay, because, you know, in our little group chat, I remember I was with you. I was like, I can't believe that Christian McCaffrey getting drafted this high. He played 10 games of the last 33. 10 of the last 33.
He had 33 rushing yards in neutral snaps. Do you want to guess the percentage of passes the Carolina Panthers had?
84.
It was 80 something. I can't remember what it was.
So that was a total guess, but that was just from like, I watched like the condensed version, and dude, it didn't even really seem like they wanted to give the ball to him. And
no.
Yeah. And that was my thing. Like I remember going through fantasy drafts, and I was like, I cannot believe that Christian McCaffrey's going first in these drafts. We haven't seen him play football barely for two seasons.
I didn't get it. I didn't get it at all. Andy Houston tied. Funny to me. I like that.
Yeah,
Jim Murphy, I think Andy gets to sacrifice one Colts player after every loss. Now we got Carson Wentz last offseason. Now it's Rodrigo Blankenship.
Yeah, and if we repeat the performance next week, it'll be Alec Pierce. Dude, Alec Pierce dropped a dime for Matt Ryan in the end zone.
And then he had the day later concussion symptoms. I don't think I've ever
seen Austin Collie reboot.
The day after concussion symptoms. It's like, okay.
I shouldn't say that. Little Austin Collie reboot.
I lost a lot of money on the Jets and the Cardinals. That was really dumb. I blame you as a friend for telling me or for not telling me to not tease those teams.
Why would I would never tell you. I would never tell you. Okay.
Look, you should have known and reached out to me and been like, I know you want to tease the Jets. Don't do it. When I try to tease Cooper Rush at some point this month, you have to step in.
Don't do it. Don't do it. You know, I was just looking at the for those of you who listen to this podcast that don't live in New York City, watching football here is fucking awful. Like, it's awful because we're tapped into the Giants and the Jets so hard that, like, last week I didn't get the Packers Vikings game, but it actually ended up being okay. I ended up getting the Giants Titans game because I live in New York. And this week I get like what, Bengals, Cowboys, Jets, Browns, and then Giants, Panthers.
Gross.
It's not good. It's not good stuff, man. So if you don't live in New York, like, I just want you to know you are living a much better football watching existence than like the 8 million people I live here.
Well, if you're smart, you spoof your location. So some of us do that to get Madison area Packers broadcasts like family night and then chart them and then get made fun of by people like Charles McDonald on Twitter.com. Right. Monday Night Football, last game we'll talk about. Denver-Seattle. That was a fun one. Geno came out. He completed like 18 in a row or something like that. I think he was like 16 of 18, but hilarious. Hackett had no idea what the hell was going on at the end. I think Russ just takes entirely too long to get out of the pocket. I legit think that like they were trying to run a play there, and then they called a timeout, and we're like, well,
oh no, the puck is already down. You think they were trying to run a play there?
Yeah.
But they were just standing there for like 40 seconds.
Russ is giving the wide receiver hand signals.
Yeah, but I thought they were just fucking around.
I don't know. They took all night to get out of the huddle, throughout the night.
Okay. But even if that's the case, well, maybe this is true. I was about to ask, like, is Nate Hackett so incompetent that he wouldn't see his offense being discombobulated and just call one of his three timeouts at the end of that game?
He hasn't managed games though.
No, he had right. And it, like right.
So he wasn't say, like, a play caller in that. Green Bay. He went from, you know, essentially like in terms of game day preparation, sure. Like before they actually go on the field on Sundays, like he's an offensive coordinator. But once they get into play calling and stuff, he wasn't that. He wasn't managing timeouts or anything like that in Green Bay. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah,
after the game. He was like, no, yeah, like we felt good about him kicking it there. And then
my thing was like, wow.
And was like, that was actually a really dumb idea. I want to take that back. I did not actually want to set the outdoor kicking field goal length record in that situation.
But see, the thing is like on 4th and 5, like, you had the chance to go for it without burning a timeout too. Like if you
could have just thrown an out route. I've seen Rodgers do it 100 times.
Right. And even if you don't get it, you've got your three timeouts to try to get the ball back and see if you can do that shit was crazy to me. And, you know, my question that I was going to pose if I had anywhere to post this was going to be, what is the fewest amount of football games that you would have to watch to know that you would have to call a timeout in that scenario right there with three of them? What is the fewest amount? 2, 3?
So I don't know about football games to watch, but definitely like if you just like threw a 12-year-old in a room with a PS5 and were like, play Madden for a day.
From this point.
And like play all 9 games and like see how people react. I think they would have figured it out by the end of the day.
You think it would take that long?
I don't know. I said a 12-year-old.
You had the thing that I keep getting caught up is the amount of timeouts. You have 3 of them. It's not like this is your last timeout and you're like wishy-washy. I'm like, oh shit, like if I burn this, we're done. No, even if you burn that, you have 2 left. There was a video on Twitter where they did Peyton Manning from the Manning cast, like how many times
he called like 60 times or something.
Yeah, he hit it 62 times. Oh my god, Herbert Byers just won a 100-yard pick 6. Oh my god.
Oh, bummer. Bummer. Yeah. Geno Smith looked good. I was excited for that. Our buddy Steven Ruiz for The Ringer got a lot of heat for ranking Geno Smith like 22nd or something in his quarterback rankings. I feel like all of our friends are somehow Geno pilled. So we were all
I'm not Geno pilled. I would like Geno to declare that I'm not Geno pilled.
You're the one of us who is not Geno pilled.
Are you Geno pilled?
No, I think he's an unconscious quarterback who makes a lot of wow throws because he just like does not care about what's surrounding him in the pocket. That also leads to him like taking shots in the head. And I think, I don't know if you could start him 16 games. So,
but they're about to.
He's an okay.
Well, what about 17 games?
I don't think he can start 17. I keep forgetting that there's an extra one. I had a funny moment with my grandma. Enya FL. Happy Hispanic Heritage Month.
Yeah.
The NFL put out the Enya FL graphic, which I thought was wild.
It looked like a Taco Bell menu, dude.
It looked like a Taco Bell menu. It was absurd. As in Hispano Hablante, I was like, what the heck is going on with this? My grandma had a funny thing. So my grandma, born in Mexico, right? doesn't speak very much English. She's been here since the 70s. She ends up watching like Wheel of Fortune, the news and sports, right? Because they're like the things that you can like watch on TV and don't like need to understand English really, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Wheel of Fortune, like or Price is Right, not Wheel of Fortune, Price is Right.
Right, right.
So she watches the Seahawks. She's a big Seahawks fan because she gets the games up there in Oregon. She's mad about Russell Wilson leaving. After the game, she immediately calls me when Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf are doing their little jersey exchange. And she's like, what is Russell Wilson? Why is he taking his jersey off? You changing teams again? Traitor. Traitor. I was like, wow.
Wow. Hot take.
She was ready for the season. I'm excited. Voila. Maria Mosqueda is a saint. Do you have any other thoughts on week one of the season?
Not really. All right, I guess, okay, my question for you before we get out of here, how much stock do we put into that Rams performance on Thursday?
I think a lot. Stafford looks hurt. The offensive line looks bad, and I don't think that that's going to get fixed anytime soon. So I think a lot.
How do you feel about the Rams being favored by 10 over Atlanta? Too many?
That's way too many. I'd take Atlanta in that spot. I saw Atlanta look like a half-decent football team for
they did
at least 40 to 50 minutes.
Yeah, but I was about to say at least like 85% of that game they were the best.
Yeah. My son Marcus Mariota is doing great things.
He's going to be fine when he realizes he can just slide. Like, just slide, dude. You don't need to be Derrick Henry every time you see a linebacker. Just slide.
I'm excited. I wanted him in Green Bay. I want that on the record that I wanted him in Green Bay if Rodgers retired. My two backup plans were call Marcus Mariota or try to figure out how to get Derek Carr for cheap. Because I think those were the two underrated quarterbacks like in the league. And
yeah, Marcus can still play a little bit. I mean, I thought he played better than Jameis for the vast majority of that game. So
he played better than Jameis for the vast majority of his career until he hurt his elbow so bad that he could no longer grip a football. And they were still playing him in football in NFL games. So everyone uses that against him.
Yeah. Also Arthur Smith, like this offense that he's running with Marcus now is not even close to the same thing they were running.
No, they're running a bunch of pistol, right?
Yeah.
Every time that they would cut in red zone, it was just pistol, pistol, pistol.
They're a heavy, heavy pistol team now. So it's cool.
All right. Well, we'll let you out of here. Keep it tuned to the feed. We'll recap the game on Sunday. We'll have all the injury reports and stuff like that up on Acme Packing Company, the website. I'm going to have a breakdown on the Packers pin and pull stuff if you guys want to check that out. That'll probably run on Friday afternoon. Really hope we see some of that against the Chicago Bears because those running backs need touches, and I need this team to win. 0-2, the 0-2 stone. We always talk about this every year. If you start 0-2, there's like a 10% chance that you end up making the playoffs. Packers need to win. And I know the season is longer, and I know the bad teams are usually the ones to go 0-2, but it does kick you in the nuts a little bit to start the season 0-2. You get six games to lose in the NFL season. Using two up in 2 weeks is a pretty bad way to start.
Yeah, I saw a second to last note. I saw someone yesterday. I don't remember who tweeted it out, but you know, last year was the first year at 17 games, and none of the teams that started 0-2 made the playoffs last year. So I think we're safe in using that trend for the 17-game schedule. That's my second last point. And my last point, subscribe to The Exemplist, Charles McDonald. I'll tell you where it's coming on Monday, but the podcast is officially coming back. I don't know if that's breaking news because I haven't really shared that with anybody, but Exemplist officially coming back where I'm working, which I'll tell you guys on Monday. The 19th.
Yay, applause. Go Pack, go.